weapons into helpless fists as he rode her emotions to try to pierce the hazy image. There were several people standing around her, of the same species as those they tangled with once already. And as near as he could tell through the wavering view, one of them was calling Mara by name. For a moment, he continued to talk to her, and though Luke couldn't hear any of the words, he had the impression that he was asking her to accompany them farther into the fortress. She agreed. There was a flicker of inevitability as they took her blast tech, and then the whole group was walking away from the slideway down a corridor that Mara recognized as decorated similarly to the barracks area they'd seen farther below. Soon, all too soon, the group reached an open door. Another exchange of unheard words, a suppressed flutter of uneasiness from Mara, and she stepped alone through the door into the room beyond. From her thoughts, he could tell that there were others waiting inside for her. One of them, possibly more than one, called out to her as she moved farther inside. Mara answered, surges and flickers of emotion marking bits of information that the vagueness of their contact prevented Luke from getting himself. She continued to walk farther into the room, and without warning, right in the middle of a step, the touch of her mind cut abruptly off, leaving Luke staring at the quiet lights of the command center. Heart pounding in his chest, he stretched out with the force, trying to reestablish the contact. Mara? Mara! But it was no use. There was no response. No returning contact. No sense of her presence. Nothing at all. She was gone.
Chapter 27.
Mara took in the room in a glance as she stepped through the doorway. It was long and narrow, stretching perhaps 50 meters back from the door, but no more than 5 meters wide. Near the far wall was a solid-looking chair, facing away from her. 5 meters beyond that, right at the room's back wall, were 6 more of the blue-skinned aliens, all wearing the same tight-fitting burgundy patchwork design outfits as the ones who had escorted her here from the slideway. And like her escort, each of the aliens was wearing Imperial ranking bars on their chests beneath the high-topped black collars. But even as her glance took in those details, her main attention was caught by the man in the center of the group, seated in a duplicate of the empty chair facing him a few meters away. His hair was gray, his skin was lined with age, but his eyes were alert and shrewd, and his back was straight and proud. And he was wearing the uniform and insignia of an Imperial Admiral.
"So, here you are at last, Mara Jade,"
he said, waving her forward with a gnarled hand.
"I must say, you took your time."
"Sorry to have kept you waiting," Mara countered with an edge of sarcasm as she walked toward them.
She could feel Luke's concern and nervousness at the back of her mind, and tried to send him a reassurance she didn't entirely feel. These people knew who she was, and presumably what she was, and yet here they were, letting her move freely toward them. It all looked far too casual, and she didn't like it one bit.
"If your people hadn't been so trigger-poppy, I'd have been here a lot sooner."
The Admiral bowed his head briefly.
"My apologies. For whatever it's worth, it was an accident. Please, come sit down."
Mara continued forward, trying to watch all of them at once, her senses alert for trouble. If they had a trap set, it would be sprung somewhere before she got too close to them. And without warning, right in the middle of a step, Luke's presence suddenly vanished from her mind. Her brain froze in shock, sheer momentum keeping her feet moving. "Luke? Luke! Come on, where are you?" But there was no response. No emotion, no sense of mind or thought, no sense of presence at all. Incredibly, impossibly, he was gone. Gone.
Come, sit down,
the Admiral said again.
I imagine you must be quite worn out after all you've been through.
You're too kind, Mara said,
the words sounding distant and mechanical through the pounding of blood in her ears as she forced her feet to keep moving her forward. What in the world could possibly have happened to him? There could only be one answer. Somehow they'd gotten past his Jedi senses, had penetrated his Jedi powers, and had launched a sudden, undetected, and unblocked attack. And Luke Skywalker, Jedi Master, was unconscious. Or dead. The thought slashed into her mind, cutting through her heart like a jagged blade.
No, it couldn't be. It couldn't. Not now.
The gray-haired man was still gazing at her, a thoughtful look on his face, and with an agonized effort, Mara shoved the fear and pain away to the back of her mind. If Luke was merely unconscious, they could still get out of this. If he was dead, she would most likely soon be joining him. Either way, this was no time to let her emotions muddy her thinking. She made it the rest of the way to the chair and sank carefully into it.
You don't need to look quite so worried,
the Admiral said soothingly.
We have no intention of harming you.
Of course not,
Mara said, hearing the bitterness in her voice.
Just like you had no intention of harming me on my last trip in here?
The Admiral's lip twitched.
As I said before, that was a regrettable accident,
he said.
They were shooting at the vermin flying around near you. We've had some problems in the past with them getting inside. When you started shooting back, I'm afraid they jumped to the wrong conclusion. My deepest apologies.
That makes me feel so much better,
Mara growled.
Now what?
The Admiral seemed mildly surprised.
We talk,
he said.
Why else do you think we gave you our location in the first place? We wanted you to come see us.
Ah,
Mara said. So her guess earlier had been right. Those two ships had deliberately flown off on vectors that would lead her here. Unless, of course, he was lying after the fact to cover up his pilot's blunders.
You could have just sent me an invitation,
she told him, feeling her forehead crease slightly as she stretched out toward him with the Force. Odd. For some reason, she couldn't seem to touch him. Not him. Not the aliens flanking him.
Or would that have been too straightforward and easy?
The Admiral smiled knowingly.
With an open invitation, I doubt you would have come alone. Something more vague seemed a better arrangement. I apologize for not having an escort waiting, by the way. Your landing caught us a bit by surprise.
As did your arrival earlier inside the fortress, the alien standing at the Admiral's right added,
his voice smooth and cultured, his glowing red eyes steady on Mara.
If we'd known you were coming, our people would have been much more careful with their Cheriks. May I ask how you managed to penetrate the fortress without being spotted?
We turned ourselves into vermin and flew in, of course,
Mara told him.
It was faster than walking.
Of course,
the Admiral said with a smile.
Or perhaps you scaled up the side of the fortress and came in through one of the cracks.
Mara shook her head.
Sorry, trade secret.
Ah,
the Admiral said, still smiling.
It's not important. I was merely curious. The point is that you are here, Mara, just as we wished. May I call you Mara, by the way? Or would you prefer Captain Jade or some other title?
Call me anything you want, Mara told him. And what should I call you? Or doesn't anyone in this place have a name?
All thinking beings have names, Mara,
the man said.
Mine is Admiral Voss Park. It's a pleasure to meet you at last.
Likewise,
Mara said,
staring at him as a ripple of shock went through her. Voss Park, the Victory Star Destroyer captain who had found Thrawn on a deserted world and brought him to the Imperial Court, and who had subsequently joined him in his shame and supposed exile from the Empire. But the man in front of her...
I imagine I look rather older than you might have expected,
Park said offhandedly.
Assuming you had any expectations at all, of course. I may have overly flattered myself to assume the Emperor's hand would even remember my name, let alone my face.
I remember both, Mara said. You were one of the people every faction in the court used as an example of what not to do in the middle of a political fight.
She glanced at the aliens.
But then those were the same people who also thought Palpatine sent Thrawn out here as a punishment. So what did they know?
And you think Mithron Neurodo's mission was otherwise? The alien at Park's right asked.
I know otherwise,
Mara assured him, looking him up and down.
Tell me, Admiral, does the whole race talk like Thrawn? Or is this some special cultural training you give your troops in case they're all invited out for high-day drinks?
The alien's eyes narrowed.
Calm yourself, Stent,
Park said dryly, holding up a hand.
You must understand that one of Mara Jade's most subtle weapons has always been her talent for irritating people. Irritated people don't think clearly, you see.
Or maybe I just don't like any of you very much,
Mara said, feeling a touch of annoyance at Park's quick and casual insight. Usually her enemies didn't figure that one out nearly so quickly. The slower ones never figured it out at all.
But enough about me. Let's hear about this grand push of yours out into the unknown regions. You gave up a lot, after all. Coruscant? The status and camaraderie of the Imperial Fleet?
Deliberately, she looked at Stent.
Civilization?
Stent's eyes narrowed again, but Park merely smiled.
You've met Thrawn,
he said, his voice softening to near reverence.
Any true warrior would have given up whatever was necessary for the chance to serve under him.
Except those of his own people, I gather, Mara countered. Or did I hear the story wrong of how he wound up on Coruscant?
No, I'm sure you heard correctly,
Park said with a shrug.
But like everything else people think they know about Thrawn, that particular story is somewhat incomplete.
Is it now?
Mara said, leaning back in her chair and crossing her legs, a posture designed by its apparent helplessness to put suspicious people at ease. With the same motion, she surreptitiously rocked the chair back a bit, trying to gauge its weight. Very heavy, unfortunately, which eliminated it as a grab-and-throw weapon.
I seem to have some time on my hands. Why don't you start at the beginning?
Stent laid his hand on Park's shoulder. Admiral, I'm not sure...
It's all right, Stent.
Park calmed him, his eyes steady on Mara.
We can hardly expect her help unless she has all the facts now, can we?
Mara frowned.
My help in what?
It started better than half a century ago,
Park said, ignoring her question.
Back when the Outbound Flight Project was preparing to fly, just before the Clone Wars broke out. Well before your time, of course. I don't know if you'd even have heard of it.
I've read about the Outbound Flight, Mara said. A group of Jedi Masters and others decided to head out to another galaxy and see what was there.
Ultimately, their destination was indeed another galaxy,
Park nodded.
But before that particular expedition began, it was decided to send them and their ship on a, shall we say, shakedown cruise. A great circle through part of the vast unknown regions of our own galaxy.
He waved a hand back towards Stent and the guards.
A route, as it turned out, that was to bring it across the edge of territory controlled by the Chiss.
Chiss. So that was what they called themselves.
Mara ran the name through her memory, searching for any reference the Emperor might have made to them.
Nothing. And the Chiss didn't feel like being good hosts that day?
Actually, the ruling Chiss families never had the chance to decide one way or the other,
Park said.
Palpatine had already decided that the Jedi represented a grave threat to the Old Republic, and had sent an assault force into the region to quietly take care of outbound flight when they showed up.
And there they were, busily setting up their ambush when Thrawn found them.
He shook his head.
You have to understand the situation, Mara, to truly appreciate it. On one side were hand-picked units of Palpatine's own private army, equipped with 15 top-line combat ships. On the other side were Commander Mithron Uroto of the Chiss Expansionary Defense, and perhaps 12 small and insignificant border patrol ships.
I appreciate it just fine,
Mara said, suppressing a shudder.
How badly did Thrawn slaughter them?
Utterly,
Park said,
the ghost of a smile creasing his face.
I believe only a single one of Palpatine's ships remained capable of flight. And that only because Thrawn wanted some of the invaders left alive to interrogate. Fortunately for that remnant, and perhaps one day for the galaxy as a whole, among the survivors was the leader of the task force, one of Palpatine's advisors, a man named Kinmin Doriana.
Mara swallowed. That name she most certainly did remember. He'd been Palpatine's right-hand man, supposedly one of the grand architects of his rise to power.
I've heard it, yes, she said.
I thought you would have,
Park said, nodding.
Very much a shadow advisor. Few people ever even heard his name, let alone knew his true position and power. But among those who did, it was sometimes speculated that his untimely death left a gap which Palpatine ultimately tried to fill with three other people. Darth Vader, Grand Admiral Thrawn.
He smiled again.
And you.
You're too kind,
Mara said evenly, not even a whisper of pride rising within her at such a statement. So she had indeed had position and authority in Palpatine's eyes, perhaps more than even she had realized. But it didn't matter. That part of her life had died, unmourned, a long time ago.
You're very well informed, too.
This was Thrawn's personal base,
Park said, waving a hand around him.
And information, as you may have noticed, was one of his few obsessions. The databases in the fortress core below us are possibly the most extensive in the galaxy.
Magnificent, I'm sure, Mara said. Too bad all his knowledge couldn't keep him from getting killed.
She had hoped to spark some kind of reaction from them. To her surprise, though, none of them so much as blinked. Park, in fact, actually smiled.
Never assume, Mara,
he warned.
But that's getting ahead of the story. Where were we?
Doriana and outbound flight, Mara said.
Ah, thank you,
Park said.
At any rate, Doriana explained the entire situation to Thrawn and convinced him that outbound flight had to be destroyed. 2 weeks later, when the ship arrived in Chiss space, Thrawn was waiting.
Goodbye, outbound flight,
Mara murmured.
Yes,
Park agreed.
But though that was the end of that, it was the beginning of trouble for Thrawn himself. The Chiss military philosophy, you see, did not recognize the morality of preemptive strikes. What Thrawn did was, in their minds, equivalent to murder.
Mara snorted gently.
No offense, Admiral, but it sounds to me like it's your perceptions that need an overhaul. How can the slaughter of a bunch of Jedi Masters minding their own business be anything but murder?
Park looked at her gravely.
You'll understand, Mara,
he said, his voice almost trembling.
In time, you'll understand.
Mara frowned. The man was either a terrific actor, or there was something buried in all of this that had him well and truly terrified. Again she stretched out with the Force. Again she couldn't seem to touch him at all. With an obvious effort, Park pulled himself together.
But again, I'm getting ahead of myself. As I said, Thrawn's action did not sit well with the ruling Chiss families. He was able to talk his way clear and retain his position. But from that point on, they watched him very carefully. And eventually, as he dealt with some of the Chiss's enemies, he pushed things just a little too far. He was brought up on charges, stripped of all rank, and sent into exile on an uninhabited world at the edge of Imperial space.
Where who should show up but a Victory Star Destroyer? Mara said. Captained by a man willing to take the risk of bringing him back to Coruscant.
She raised her eyebrows.
Only it wasn't nearly as much of a risk as everyone thought, was it?
Park smiled.
It most certainly wasn't,
he said.
In fact, I learned later that Palpatine had made at least 2 unsuccessful attempts over the years to contact the Chiss and offer Thrawn a position with his soon-to-be empire. No, he was most pleased with my gift. But because of the political realities of the court, he had to keep that pleasure hidden.
So Thrawn went into private military training, and eventually rose to the highest rank Palpatine could offer, Mara said. And then, what? Arranged to have himself sent back here, so he could make the Chiss ruling families pay for what they'd done to him?
Park looked shocked.
Certainly not. The Chiss are his people, Mara. He has no interest in hurting them. Quite the opposite, in fact. He came back here to protect them.
From what?
Stent gave a contemptuous snort. From what? He bit out harshly. You soft, complacent female. You think that because you lounge around your quiet worlds behind a ring of warships, that the rest of the galaxy is a safe place to live? There are 100 different threats out there that would freeze your blood if you knew about them. The ruling families can't stop them. Neither can any other power in the region. If our people are to be protected, it's up to us.
And you are... You specifically, I mean?
Stent drew himself up straighter.
We are Syndic Mithron Nerodo's household phalanx,
he said. And there was no mistaking the pride in his tone.
We live only to serve him, and through him to serve the Chiss. Whether they want your help or not, I guess,
Mara said, noting the alien's use of the present tense.
There it was again,
the assumption or belief that Thrawn wasn't dead. Could they be that out of touch?
Do they even know you're out here?
They know the forces of the Empire are out here,
Park said.
And while the ruling families pretend they don't know Stent and his unit are working with us, the average Chiss does in fact know. We have a steady flow of young Chiss arriving at our various bases and garrisons to enlist in our fight.
Mara suppressed a grimace. So they did indeed have bases out here.
Palpatine wouldn't have been very pleased to see aliens mixing with Imperial forces,
she pointed out.
I doubt the current regime on Bastion would either.
Park's expression sobered.
Indeed,
he said.
Which brings us to the problem and situation we now face. Many years ago, Thrawn told us that if he was ever reported dead, we should keep at our labors here and in the unknown regions. and to look for his return 10 years afterward.
Mara blinked in disbelief. They really were out of touch. It's going to be a long wait, she said, trying not to sound too sarcastic. He was stabbed in the chest, right through the back of his command chair. Most people have a hard time recovering from that kind of treatment.
Thrawn is not most people, Stent reminded her.
Was, Mara said. Not is, was. He died at Bilbringi.
Did he?
Park asked.
Did you ever see a body? Or hear anything about his supposed death that didn't come from the Imperial's own news sources?
Mara opened her mouth, paused. Park was leaning slightly toward her, a glint of anticipation in his eye.
Was that a rhetorical question? She asked. Or are you expecting me to have an actual answer?
Park smiled, leaning back in his chair again.
I told you she was quick,
he said, looking up at Stent.
As a matter of fact, yes. We thought you might. You have complete access to Talon Card's information network, after all. If anyone would know the truth, it would be you.
A sudden jolt of understanding shot through Mara.
You weren't hunting Imperial connections when you buzzed the Kavriloop base and Terek Star Destroyer, were you? You were hunting me.
Very good. Indeed,
Park said approvingly.
In fact, when Dreedle spotted you near that Star Destroyer, he thought you and Thrawn might already have come to an arrangement. Hence his transmission, asking Thrawn to make contact.
Mara shook her head.
Look, I know you've been out here a long time, and I realize it must have been hard for you, but it's time to face the hard, cold facts. Like it or not, Thrawn is dead.
Really?
Park said.
Then why is the Holonet buzzing with the news that he has returned and is making alliances?
And that he's been seen by many planetary and sector leaders, Stent put in. Including the Diamalan Senator to Coruscant and former General Lando Calrissian.
Mara stared at him.
Lando? No, she said. You're wrong. Or you're bluffing.
I assure you, I...
Park broke off, his eyes shifting to a point behind Mara as a breath of air on the back of her neck announced the door behind her had opened. She turned, tensing. But it was only a youngish, middle-aged man, walking with a slight limp along the left-hand wall of the long room toward her. Despite his age, he wore the uniform of an Imperial TIE fighter pilot. Between his graying goatee and similarly graying shock of dark hair, he wore an almost unheard-of rarity. A black patch over his right eye.
Yes, General,
Park called to him.
Mid-course transmission from Sorn, Admiral,
the man said, his one eye trained unblinkingly on Mara as he strode past her.
His pass-through bastion system was inconclusive. Lots of rumors and speculations, but no hard evidence.
He paused.
But the rumors do say Thrawn is currently there.
Wait a minute,
Mara put in, frowning.
You know where Bastion is?
Oh, yes,
Park assured her.
Thrawn anticipated that the seat of government might periodically change, and he wanted us to know where it was at any given time. So he had a special homing device installed in a dummy file in the Central Imperial Records Library, reasoning that where the government went, the library would soon follow.
It's a device of Chief's design, Stent added with clear pride. Totally dormant except when in hyperspace, a time when virtually no one thinks to do scans for such things. We followed Bastion's movement from system to system with a great deal of interest.
Indeed.
Park looked at the pilot again.
Is Sorn on his way back?
He'll be here in about 3 hours.
The pilot nodded at Mara.
Has she given you anything useful?
Not really,
Park said,
looking at Mara as he gestured to the newcomer.
But I'm forgetting my manners. Mara Jade, this is General Baron.
He paused dramatically.
Suntir Fell.
Mara kept her face expressionless.
Baron Suntir Fell.
Once a legendary TIE fighter pilot, later turning his back on the Empire to become a member of Rogue Squadron, he had vanished years ago into a trap set by Imperial Intelligence Director Izard and never been heard of again. The general assumption had been that Izard had him summarily executed for treason. Yet here he was, apparently once again flying with Imperial forces. And a general yet.
General Fell?
She nodded acknowledgement.
Do I take it from the Admiral's tone that I'm supposed to be impressed?
The young Fell, she suspected, would have taken instant offense at that. But this older version merely favored her with a faint smile.
There's no time for pride out here, Jade,
he said gravely.
Once you've joined us, you'll understand.
I'm sure,
Mara said, folding her arms across her chest and squeezing her hands tightly into fists with the effort as she stretched out with all her strength. The force was there. She could feel it flowing through her. Yet for some reason she still couldn't touch any of them, human or Chiss. It was almost like the force-suppressing effect of those sessile Merkur creatures called Islamari. But that couldn't be it, because she could still feel the force perfectly well. Besides, there weren't any of the creatures in the room with them. She swallowed a sudden grimace, feeling like a fool, as she focused on Park and the Chiss standing with their backs to the wall. Of course there weren't any Islamari in the room. They were one room over, pressed up against the other side of the wall, where they could protect her interrogators from her mind probes. They'd probably put the creatures along the sides, too. Probably why Fell had been so careful to hug the wall on his way across the room. Maybe even scattered some above the ceiling. She took a deep breath, a huge part of the tension in her chest abruptly easing. Of course there were Islamari in the ceiling. That was how and why her link to Luke had been so abruptly cut off. Which meant he was still alive. She took another breath, suddenly aware that Park and Fell were both staring at her.
Such a gracious invitation, she said,
trying to pick up on the threads of conversation before her silence became too blatant.
Sorry to disappoint you, but I already have a job.
But too late.
I see she's figured it out,
Fell said conversationally.
Yes,
Park said.
I'm rather surprised it took her this long, actually. Particularly since she noticed the Islamari effect as soon as she came within the effect of their shroud. I could see the break in her step.
At least it proves she has Jedi abilities,
Fell said.
Just as well we were prepared.
I congratulate you all on your cleverness,
Mara said, putting some scorn into her voice.
You are indeed the true heirs to Thrawn's genius and military might. Let's stop dancing around, shall we? What exactly do you want from me?
As General Fell has already said,
Park said,
we want you to join us.
Mara felt her eyes narrow.
You are joking.
Not at all,
Park said.
In fact,
Admiral,
Stent interrupted, his head tilted slightly to one side, as if listening to something. Someone's just tried to access the upper command room computer.
Skywalker,
Fell said with a nod.
Nice of him to save us the trouble of tracking him down. Have the Phalanx bring him here, Stent. Remind them that only those carrying Islamari are to approach him.
Yes, sir.
Stent stepped past Fell and headed along the wall at a fast walk, speaking rapidly in his own language as he headed for the door. As he passed Mara, she caught a glimpse of a small device in his ear. The Chiss version of a comlink, no doubt.
He'll be joining us in a few minutes,
Fell said, looking back at Mara.
You must rank very highly indeed in Coruscant's eyes for them to send Luke Skywalker himself to rescue you. I hope he won't resist to the point of the Chiss having to hurt him.
I hope for the Chiss's sake they haven't bitten off more than they can swallow,
Mara countered, trying to sound more confident than she felt. Luke had had to function under the handicap of Isla Mari before, but that had been a long time ago.
Speaking of getting hurt, General, what happened to your face?
Or is that patch just something you wear to impress the natives?
I lost my eye in our final battle against one of the many would-be warlords out here,
Fel said, his voice calm, but with an edge to it.
Our medical replacement facilities are limited, and I opted to forego a new eye in favor of others of my pilots who might need the operation.
He smiled tightly, a glimpse of the younger, brasher Fel showing through the age and maturity.
Besides, even with one eye, I'm still the best pilot around.
I'm sure,
Mara agreed.
But imagine what you'd be like with two of them again. And the way the war with the New Republic has dwindled down to basically nothing, I imagine the Empire's got a pretty good surplus of spare prosthetics. All it would take is you showing up and asking for one.
She looked back at Park.
But of course, that would mean letting Bastion in on the big secret, which is apparently something you don't want to do. Why not?
Park sighed.
Because everything we've done here, everything we have here, really belongs to Thrawn. And at this point, we frankly don't know which side of your conflict he's going to come down on.
Mara blinked.
Excuse me? An Imperial Grand Admiral, and you don't know which side he's going to take?
The Empire's been whittled down to 8 sectors,
Fel reminded her.
Militarily, they're no longer a power even worth considering.
And as you've already pointed out, they still have a lingering problem with anti-alien biases,
Park added.
On the other hand, Coruscant has serious problems of its own. Most notably, its inability to keep its members from fighting with each other.
Which is where you come in,
Fel said.
As the Emperor's hand, you knew a great deal about the Empire and those in power there. On the other hand, as a friend of Skywalker and his associates, you're also well acquainted with the New Republic regime on Coruscant.
He smiled tightly.
And, of course, as Talon Card's second in command, you know a great deal about everything else. You'd be invaluable in helping us end the conflict, unify this region, and begin preparations for the challenges ahead.
Your expertise and knowledge are very important to us,
Park said.
Our attention has been necessarily turned outward, with the result that we're somewhat out of touch with matters of this part of space. We need someone who can fill that gap.
And so naturally you thought of me, Mara said sardonically.
Don't be so flippant,
Fel admonished.
I'm not being flippant. I'm being disbelieving, she countered. I hardly think Thrawn would have approved of you hiring me as your local affairs advisor.
On the contrary,
Park said.
Thrawn regarded you quite highly. I know for a fact that he intended to offer you a position with us once the Empire had regained its territory.
One of the Chiss beside Park stirred, tilting his head as Stent had done earlier. Admiral, he said softly, squatting down beside the chair and whispering something into Park's ear. Park replied, and for a minute they held an inaudible conversation. Mara ran her eye over Fel and the 5 Chiss, mentally mapping out how she might be able to take them down if it came to a fight. But the attempt was little more than a mental exercise, and she knew it. With her eyes steady on her, and their hands resting on their holstered weapons, there was no chance she could take out all of them before they got her. Not without the Force. The conversation ended, and the Chiss stood back up
and strode rapidly away along the wall.
"Please excuse the interruption,"
Park apologized as the alien left the room.
"No problem," Mara said.
Down to 4 Chiss now, plus Felon Park. Still rotten odds.
"Having trouble pinning Skywalker down?"
"Not really,"
Park assured her.
"Glad to hear it,"
Mara said, wishing more than ever that she could pick up something of his thoughts. That exit hadn't looked like the departure of someone who wasn't really having trouble. If she only had some idea what Luke was up to.
"So Thrawn intended to offer me a commission, did he?"
"He did indeed,"
Park said.
"He knew who all the best people were, both in overall skills and the kind of mental toughness he needed."
He gestured toward Fel.
"General Fel is a good example. His rebellion against Izzard was of no consequence to Thrawn. What mattered was his feelings for the people and worlds of this region. So after Thrawn had Izzard capture him..."
"Wait a minute,"
Mara interrupted.
"Thrawn was involved with that?"
"It was entirely his plan,"
Fel said.
"You don't think Izzard could have come up with anything that clever, do you?"
His mouth tightened, his remaining eye gazing away thoughtfully into the distance.
"He brought me out here,"
he said quietly.
"Showed me what it was we faced, and what we'd have to do to stop it. Showed me that with even all the resources of the Empire and the Republic combined, and with himself at the head, there were no guarantees of victory."
"On the contrary, he's already made contingency plans for defeat,"
Park added soberly.
10 years ago, he had sleeper groups of his best cloned warriors scattered around the Empire and New Republic, ready to form the nuclei of local resistance forces should Bastion and Coruscant fall. Men who loved their homes and their land and their worlds, and who would give their lives in their defense."
"Yes,"
Fel said.
"Once I understood, once I really understood, I had no choice but to join him."
"As you will, too,"
Park said. Mara shook her head.
"Sorry, I have other plans."
"We'll see,"
Park said calmly.
"Perhaps Thrawn will be able to convince you himself when he returns."
"And what if he doesn't return?"
Mara asked.
"What if the rumors are just that? Rumors?"
"Oh, he'll return,"
Park said.
"He said he would, and he always kept his promises. The only question is whether or not this particular rumor is actually him."
He looked up at Fel.
"And under the circumstances, I suppose the only way we're going to find out for sure will be for me to finally make a trip to Bastion. If Thrawn has indeed set up a headquarters there, that should answer the question of which side he'll be working from."
Mara felt her hands tighten into fists.
"You don't know what you're saying,"
she said.
"You can't just turn over all this to the Empire. All these resources, bases, alliances."
"They won't misuse them,"
Park said, his voice grim.
"We'll make sure of that. The task ahead of us is far too serious for anyone to waste time on anything as petty as politics or personal gain."
"If you think that, you are out of touch,"
Mara snapped.
"Try to remember back to Palpatine's court and what the taste of power did to those people. Personal gain is all some of them ever think of."
"It's a risk we'll have to take,"
Park said firmly.
"We'll be careful, certainly. We'll speak with Sorn when he gets back and sift through the data he collected from his pass through the Bastion system. But unless there's something that positively quashes the rumors of Thrawn's return, it's time to make that contact."
Mara took a deep breath.
"I can't let you do that," she said.
"You can't let us do it,"
Fel asked pointedly.
No, Mara said. I can't. You give this to Bastion, and the first thing they'll do is turn it straight against Coruscant.
Don't worry, Park said. We won't give anything away until we're sure Thrawn is with them.
On the other hand, we may do well to worry about her, Admiral,
Fel pointed out, eyeing her thoughtfully.
Someone as vehemently opposed as she is to our contacting Bastion could be trouble.
I suppose you're right,
Park said reluctantly. He levered himself out of his chair, one of the Chiss stepping to his side and offering him a supporting arm as he stood up.
I'm afraid, Mara, that you and Skywalker will have to be our guests for a while.
And if Thrawn is back, and I still don't want to join up? Mara demanded. What then?
Park's lips compressed briefly.
I'm sure it won't come to that,
he assured her. But his eyes didn't quite meet hers as he spoke.
We'll have it all sorted out within a few days. Certainly no more than a month at the most.
Mara snorted.
You aren't serious. You really think a couple dozen Islamari are going to hold Luke Skywalker and me that long?
She's right, Admiral, Fel agreed. It's going to take more to keep the two of them quiet.
Park studied Mara's face.
What do you suggest?
Fel gestured to one of the Chiss.
Brosh, you're Cherek, set for level 2.
Wait a second,
Mara said hastily, jumping to her feet as the Chiss drew his hand weapon. A brief flood of emotion surged through her.
Stall,
the urgent thought leaped into her mind.
Wait just a Hawthfrost second! I'm an unarmed prisoner.
The other Chiss were drawing their weapons now, too.
I know,
Fel said. He sounded genuinely regretful for whatever that was worth.
And I'm deeply sorry about having to do this. But I've had some experience with Jedi. And the only way I can think of to keep you a proper prisoner for a few days is to force you to go into a healing trance.
He looked over at Brosh.
Wait a minute, Mara said. Stall, stall, stall. You said you wanted to make a deal with me, right? Well, I can tell you flat out that shooting me will definitely not get any such negotiations off on the right foot. In fact, I'd go so far as to say that it might put me off working for you entirely.
It won't,
Fel assured her darkly.
Not when you know the full extent of the threats facing us.
Maybe it will, and maybe it won't, Mara countered. And don't forget Card, either. If you really want information, he's the one you're going to have to deal with. And Card does not take kindly to anyone who takes pot shots at his people. I've seen him take whole organizations apart for that sort of crime. In fact, there was one particular Hutt group.
Yes, I'm sure,
Park interrupted, frowning.
Really, Mara, you're making far more out of this than you need to. Cherek burns are certainly serious, but that's hardly even a consideration for someone with the Jedi skills of pain suppression and healing. And General Fel is right. We do need to keep you quiet for a while.
Yes, I understand that, Mara said. And it's a brilliant idea. Really, it is. There's just one small problem. I don't know how to do either the pain suppression or healing tricks.
Come now,
Park said reproachfully, gesturing toward the black-edged hole in her jumpsuit.
Your shoulder indicates otherwise.
Skywalker put me into the trance,
Mara said, consciously relaxing her muscles in anticipation.
And he's not here! I could die of shock, or bleed to death!
You'll do neither, Fel assured her. I know both the power and limitations of Chiss weaponry. Think of it as an added incentive for Skywalker to surrender to us.
He caught Brosh's eye and nodded. The Chiss nodded back and lifted his weapon, and from it came a brilliant green flash.
Chapter 28.
Without warning, right in the middle of a step, Mara vanished. Mara? Luke thought desperately toward her, stretching out to the Force. Mara! But there was no response. Somehow they must have gotten past her danger sense and combat skills and launched a sudden and overwhelming attack. And she was unconscious. Or dead.
No,
he whispered aloud, his pulse pounding in his ears. Once again, a person he'd cared for.
No!
He bit out between clenched teeth, the agony in his heart swirling into something dark and deadly as the pain turned into a growing fury. Deal out casual death, would they? If death was what they wanted, he would show them just what death looked like. In his mind's eye, he saw himself striding down the spiral slideway, throwing the aliens aside like sand dolls, their bodies slamming against the unyielding black stone and dropping crumpled to the floor. His lightsaber would flash through their ranks, cutting through weapons and bodies, and leaving more death in its wake. His lightsaber. He looked down at the lightsaber in his hand. Not the weapon he himself had made in the oppressive heat of the Tatooine Desert, but the one his father had made so many years before. The weapon he had given to Mara. He took a deep breath, letting go of the rage and hatred. A cold shiver running through him as he realized the magnitude of what he had almost done. Once again, he had come to the very brink of giving in to the dark side. Had nearly surrendered to hatred and the lust for revenge and the overwhelming desire to use his power for his own selfish ends.
If you honor what they fight for,
Master Yoda's words echoed hauntingly through his mind. All right, he murmured aloud. No, he would not avenge whatever had happened to Mara, at least not for vengeance's sake. But he would seek out the truth of her fate. With an effort, he cleared the last lingering emotion from his thoughts. Mara's picture of songbirds singing inside an ore-crushing facility, flickering once through his mind as he did so. Stretching out with the Force, he focused his mental probe toward the spot where Mara's presence had vanished. Unless they had already taken it away, he should at least be able to sense her body. But there was nothing. Not Mara. Not the humans or aliens she had supposedly been moving toward when she disappeared. In fact, within a certain area, he could detect nothing at all. Almost as if something was blocking his access to the Force. Abruptly, his breath went out of him in a rush, relief and chagrin flooding into him in equal quantities. Of course, the aliens had moved Issa Mari into the space between him and Mara. Even given the four-floor distance between them, he should have immediately recognized what was happening. Once again, it seemed, he was having to relearn Yoda's warning against acting while in the grip of strong emotion. But there was no time for self-recrimination. Within the Issa Mari effect, Mara's fledgling Jedi powers were useless. It was up to him to get her out. He pulled out his comlink and thumbed it on. R2, he called softly, I need you down here. Take the non-moving spiral slideway behind the wall to the right of the hidden exit doorway and come down four floors. Splitter of stones, leave someone behind in the stairway to seal the door, and the rest of you come with R2. Got that?
Right.
There was a twitter from the droid and a chirp from the Quamja. Luke returned the comlink to his belt and walked slowly across the floor toward one of the level's back corners, stretching out beneath him with the Force as he moved. He could sense beings on the next level down, but none of them seemed to be in this particular area. That could be misleading, given that he still didn't have a clear reading on this species. But he would have to risk it. Igniting Mara's lightsaber, feel of the weapon bringing back a flood of old memories. He gripped it with both hands and dug the blue-white blade into the floor. His big fear had been that, like the Cortosis ore in the cave below, the strange black stone would resist the lightsaber in some way. but though it felt rather like dragging a tree branch upstream through a rapidly flowing river, the blade sliced through the stone without trouble. Walking in a tight circle, beveling the edge inward so that the plug wouldn't fall through to the floor below, he carved out a round hole a little wider than R2. Finishing his cut, he confirmed one final time that no one seemed to be below him. Then, stretching out to the force, he lifted the stone plug out. It was heavy, far heavier than anything of such a small size had any business being. Maneuvering it off to the side, he set it down with its edge just overlapping the hole, then dropped flat to the floor and peered carefully down. The area did indeed appear to be deserted. Getting a grip on the rim, he eased himself in to hang full length through the hole. Bracing himself, drawing on the force to strengthen his muscles, he let go. The floor was about 4 meters down, a trivial fall for a Jedi. He let his legs collapse as he hit, absorbing the impact and dropping him into a hopefully unobtrusive heap as he stretched out his senses for any sign he'd been seen or heard. But there was nothing. Getting carefully to his feet, he looked around again.
"Master Walker of Sky!"
Luke looked up. Keeper of Promises was in the room above him, peering down through the hole in the floor. "Keep quiet," he warned the Quamja. "Where are the rest of your people?"
"They are coming in a flanking curve,"
Keeper of Promises said.
"Rush this way! Some guard your machine. It is the slowest."
"Let me know when he gets there," Luke told him, stretching out with the force. There were, he could tell, more of the aliens on the next level down, but again, they didn't seem to be too close to him. Igniting the lightsaber again, he began cutting a new hole directly beneath the first one. He finished the hole and had dropped to the next floor down when a quiet whistle from above signaled R2's arrival. "Great," Luke called softly, looking up at the blue and silver dome, peering cautiously over the lip 2 floors up as he pulled out his comlink and thumbed it on. The droid backed out of sight, and there was another acknowledging whistle from the comlink. "All right," Luke said, glancing around. He'd come down into a deserted room this time, but through the open door, he could see glimpses of moving shadows. "You see the control boards over there? I want you to go find a computer jack you can access and plug into it. Try to get a floor plan of the fortress if you can. If you can't, just look around and see what else you can find. When I signal you again, unplug and get back over to the hole as fast as you can. Got all that?" There was a slightly nervous-sounding twitter, and the comlink went dead. Gripping Mara's lightsaber, trying to get a feel for all the minds around and below him, Luke waited. When it happened all at once. Suddenly, virtually in unison, all the alien minds changed, their various tones and concerns and textures all shifting to focus in the same direction. Not with fear, concern, or even surprise, but with the calm, deadly purpose of professional soldiers. R2 had tripped the flags Mara had warned him about, and the fortress was mobilizing for action. Luke crouched a little closer to the floor, acutely aware that everything now hinged on what exactly that action would consist of. If all the aliens merely settled in where they were and braced for possible attack, he would have no choice but to fight his way through them to get to Mara. If, however, they instead concentrated on the slideway ramps and the floor where the attempted break-in was occurring... And they did. Even as Luke held his breath, he could sense the aliens below moving purposefully toward the slideway Mara had taken earlier. If he was careful and quick, the path to her might just be open. Especially if he was quick. Igniting the lightsaber, he went to work carving yet another hole in the black stone. He had finished the opening and dropped through to the next level down when his probing senses picked up the cue he'd been waiting for. The subtle change in the alien minds as the assembled assault teams readied themselves. "Now, R2," he called softly into the comlink. Send the Quamja to me down the hole, and get over there yourself. The droid acknowledged, and Luke stepped beneath the hole to wait. The Quamja weren't wasting any time.